worship, we'll have our congregational meeting where we look at our audit reports and approve those. So hope you'll plan to be with us next week for that. We have in the back copies, they're red this year, of the annual reports and the directory and the serving schedule that starts in March for the next year. We printed 65 of those, and it's also available on the website. So if you want one of those, take one of those. If you're not likely to look at it, well, you might just leave it for somebody else. But if we need more, we'll get more. So take one if you'd like one, for sure. And again, if you do want to have access to those reports, but you don't want to have the paper, you can pull it up on our website under the Resources tab too. But please be with us next week to approve those for the congregational meeting. This is always a very brief meeting, so unless there are unforeseen things that arise, it shouldn't take too long at all. Want you to know that Ash Wednesday is coming up around the corner on March the 6th. We will have a 7 p.m. service with communion and imposition of ashes. And because we want to make that something that's friendly for people with early bedtimes, and people who don't do well after dark, that service is only going to be 30 minutes. So if you can be with us, please make plans to be with us and know that it won't be a particularly long service that evening. And then starting the next Wednesday, we'll have 5 weeks of Lenten services right here with a meal beginning at 5:45. If your groups are meeting in the coming weeks, you might talk about whether you'd be willing to provide a meal, and then just let the church office know so we can put a schedule together. And then finally, I'm seeing right here, may I borrow this? We have in the back a congregational vitality survey that we're taking along with all of the Lutheran churches in Davidson County are part of this. The Synod's put this together. This is a checkup on where we are and how you all see things going in the congregation and our life together. And it just gives us some feedback. So if you would be willing, we'd love to have everybody fill one of these out. They're right in the back in the narthex. There's a white envelope that you can put those back in. You can fill it out with pencil or with pen. We just ask that you bubble in the bubble completely, and then you put it back in the white envelope without folding it, because it'll be scored by a machine, and that way the machine doesn't have trouble running that through. But if you're part of our regular worship life, congregational life, fill one of these out if you would, so we can get an idea of that checkup. We also have an online version of that got emailed out this week, if you'd prefer to do that. I don't have the link up on the website yet, but I can do that today. So we're going to have this paper version out for a couple of weeks, too. Please just fill one of those out, whether it's online or on paper. I was asked to remind folks that there are a fair number of things in boxes out here that people may not have walked past and checked their box lately. So if that's not part of your routine, today might be a good day to walk past and just glance in your box and see if there's anything that needs to go home with you this day. Check out the rest of the announcements. I'll commend them to you. There's some committee things going on, but I think that's all that we need to make known that I know about. Are there other announcements people think we should be aware of today for the good of the community? I'll turn it over for a prayer shawl.
I would like to remind Agape Friends will be meeting tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the office complex. We'll be having a crocheting workshop and making greeting cards. So anyone that's interested in learning how to crochet or make cards is invited to come. This prayer shawl is for Phyllis Penry, Jane, and John. It's Libby's cousin, her husband. Passed away this past week, so please bless this for her.
And we're wishing happy birthday to a lot of folks this week. We inadvertently left some off last week, so we wanted to make sure we got those folks in, so we put their names in too this week. So happy birthday either last week or this week to Brantley, Carol, Kara, Tina, David, Conrad, John Michael, Raven, Edalie, Latifah, Taylor, Andy, and Nathan. Now, is there anybody else we should add to the list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I hereby declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesus, Son, of the truth, of our lives, for messes.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with
you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King,
Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up here for a children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. All right. Good morning. Excellent job avoiding the music stand up here, everybody. Okay, we're going to pretend something this morning. Are you guys ready to pretend with me?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Gavin, can you come down here? Gavin, unfortunately, bud, you have had a real bad accident, and you have a bum leg, okay? So that's what we're going to pretend. Let's see if this will stick. All right, and so you can sit back down there. Okay, and Brody, you are in top physical condition, and you are a soccer superstar, all right? Okay, so we've got Brody, who's in really good physical shape, and we've got Gavin, who's all banged up and not doing so well. Who do you think needs more help? Who? I think probably Gavin needs more help, right? Okay, yeah, I think you're right. Now, we're going to do some more pretending here. All right, if you would hold this for me, Maddie. Maddie, you've got plenty to eat. And Isabel, you've got nothing to eat. Okay. Who do you think needs more help? You think Maddie, who's got plenty to eat, or Isabel, who doesn't have any? Isabel, maybe? Yeah, I think that might be right. Okay. Calvin, you've got all the dollar bills. All right? You're flush with cash. And Gracie, you've got that penny right there. So Calvin's got a lot of dollar bills over here, and Gracie's got that penny. Who do you think needs more help?
Gracie.
Gracie, because a penny doesn't get you very much, does it? Like hardly anything at all. Yeah, that's right. So in all of these situations, who is the one that needs more help? The one who doesn't have very much, right? The one who doesn't have anything to eat. The one who's got health issues is the one who needs help, right? God is going to be, God loves and cares for all of us, but God is interested in helping the people who need help the most, right? That's who the priority is. God can love and help and care for all of us, but the one we really have to be concerned about is the one who needs the most help. And Jesus talks about this. Jesus says, blessed are the poor, okay? Jesus says, blessed are you who are hungry. And Jesus goes out of his way to heal and take care of the people who are sick. Okay, and we're going to hear Jesus talk about that today in our readings, and you guys may talk about that in children's church, I don't know. But what I want you to know is that God loves and cares for all of us, but Jesus was especially interested in looking after the people who were sick, and the people who were hungry, and the people who didn't have any money who were poor. And you know what? That's sort of our job, too, to love and care for everybody, but to be especially interested in looking out for the people who don't have what they need, the people who are hungry, the people who are poor, and the people who are sick. Can you guys do that, you think, maybe in your lives? I think you can. That's what Jesus asks us to do, to look out for everybody, but especially the people who need help. Can you guys look this week for people that might need help at school or at home and maybe help them? You think you can do that? I think you guys can do that, and that would be wonderful. I think that would make God very happy. Will you guys pray with me? Lord God, you care for all of us, but help us to look out for people in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. If you have any of those props, could you come bring them and put them in this bag? And then Miss Susan is going to take you to Children's Church so you can line up with Miss Susan. Thank you. Oh, right.
The first reading is a reading from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in parched places of the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like the tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 1, and it will be read responsively by whole verse. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers.
But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the
The second reading for today is from 1 Corinthians. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. But then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So there was a well-known and somewhat famous in the right circles research study carried out by a Stanford University researcher back in the 60s looking at the ability of children to exercise self-control and delay gratification. And the way they did this was they took a marshmallow and they put it on the table in front of these kids and they said, "Okay, it's up to you. You can eat this marshmallow right now if you want to, but if you wait till I come back and you don't eat it, well then when I get back I'll give you another one. So one marshmallow now or two later." And as you can imagine, this is pretty tough for kids, and I think we got a video queued up of this recreation.
Sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So I'm going to leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
I love that little boy who goes to put it in his mouth, right? And then he goes, oh no, and he slaps his head. He's like, I can't do it. But clearly this is really hard for kids, right? They want that second marshmallow. But to have that one right there that they got to stare at for, in the original research study, it was 10 to 15 minutes without eating it. That's really tough. The reason the researchers were doing all of this is because the ability to delay gratification is a crucial skill in our world, and it's one of the best predictors of success later in life, actually. In fact, the researchers found that children who had developed this skill of delaying gratification at a young age were more likely to score higher on standardized tests down the road, had better health, and were less likely to develop behavior problems. And this sort of makes sense, right? I mean, think about an athlete or a musician. It takes talent to succeed, yes, but it also takes a lot of work, right? A lot of practice. And nobody just loves to practice all the time. But if you can put in that time, if you can work for something, delay the immediate pleasure for a goal that you're working toward, well, you're much more likely to succeed, right? Delayed gratification is all about living now for a different time and a different reality. It's about working now for something you can't see yet, but that you know will be worth it in the end. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here in the sixth chapter of Luke. He says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets." Jesus is talking about living now for a different reality. It's a delayed gratification. There's been this crowd of folks we hear about in Luke's words looking for healing, pushing in around Jesus. But before Jesus launches into what we know as the Beatitudes, these blessed are you series of things here, before he launches into that, in Luke's account, he looked up at his disciples. So it seems like that's who he's talking to, right? Not the crowd, but the ones who have committed to following him. And he's telling them, look, you may be poor now, having left your boats and your nets to follow me, but you are blessed, for yours is the kingdom of God. You may have to deal with the tears and the exclusion that comes from being my disciple, but you will laugh and rejoice in that day. This unpleasantness that comes from following me, Jesus tells them, it's not permanent. This is just how the world treats prophets who tell truths that the world does not want to hear. Which all sort of flies in the face of the way some preachers on TV and some self-help megachurches preach the gospel, right? There's this notion put out there that if you'll just give your heart to Jesus and just put your money in the plate, then you'll receive blessings in return tenfold in this life, right? But that's actually not the way Jesus ever talks about things. In fact, he goes out of his way to let his followers know that if they want to follow him, what they can expect is hardship, persecution, the cross even. I mean, he literally tells them that, right? And he says riches are actually what the world gives to the false prophets, the ones who tell the people what they want to hear with no regard for the truth that Jesus brings. And woe to them for valuing the things of this world above the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, in our baptism, God has joined us to Jesus and promised us eternal life. And that promise for us comes with a calling to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus in living now for a reality that we can't always fully see yet. To follow Jesus now in working for the values of a kingdom that is breaking into the world as we speak, but isn't all the way here yet. In the verses that follow our reading today from the sixth chapter of Luke, Jesus will get really explicit about what this looks like to follow him, and we'll hear those verses next week, so I'm not going to jump to that just yet, but if you're just so full of suspense, you can keep reading in the sixth chapter of Luke. But basically, it boils down to this. Self-sacrificing love lived out in action, in words and deeds for the sake of a hurting world. And in the short term, following Jesus, at least according to Jesus, will likely leave us poorer, hungrier, and more full of tears, more likely to be excluded and reviled than we would have been if we were just looking out for ourselves. That's what Jesus says. But it will also leave us blessed, because it's not the short term that we're called to live for, it's the kingdom of God. Because at our core, we know the truth. Jesus got killed over this way of self-sacrificing love, but he was also raised. And if God has decided that the dead do not have to stay dead, well, then everything changes. Claimed and called by God, it's that kingdom of the resurrection that we live for, with every action of love we take, making this world a little bit more the kingdom of God. And on that day, when we see the kingdom in its fullness, we will leap for joy, and surely the reward is great, the fullness of abundant life. But actually, we don't have to wait completely for that abundant life. That abundant life starts now and every moment that we live it. Abundant life starts now when we follow Jesus, because in fact, abundant life is and happens where Jesus is. This is what we live for. The kingdom of God that we can't always see, but that we profess, that's what matters. The reality that Christ is risen and Christ will come again. That's what it's about for us. We live it now, and we trust, we believe, and we hope in that day when we see it in its fullness. Thanks be to God. Amen.
There's a kingdom for God.
Let us join together and state what we believe through the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Lord of life, we pray for your church. Raise up faithful leaders to proclaim the gospel. Guide us in the ways of love. Empower Holly Grove Lutheran Church in ministry and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the earth. Bless deserts and canyons, farmlands and vineyards. Bring sufficient rainfall to lands parched by drought and restore places overrun by floodwaters. Protect fragile environments from harm. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the nations. Grant wisdom to our elected leaders for the sake of the common good. Give courage to those who suffer persecution. Give patience and perseverance to those who work to bring an end to injustice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for all in need, for those who do not have enough food, for those who lack money, for those who are cut off from their families, for those who worry about many things. Use us to be a blessing to them, Lord. Comfort those who mourn. Heal and strengthen those who are sick. Especially we pray for Burnett, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Gaynell, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With thanksgiving, Lord, we remember those who have died. Encourage us by their example and lead us in faith until we are united at your unending feast. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. We stand. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as the bread of the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.